Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Like to take the time to say anybody that it worked yesterday, and there's lots of work went on yesterday. Thank everybody for their help. And if you didn't get here, you missed a good time and good meal, and the barbecue was a hit again, I believe, wasn't it, Steve? Pretty close. Okay. Any announcements from anyone this morning? If you would please assign the ritual registration pads as they're passed out.
Sherry is not here yet, but she may not make it. But she works.
She's on her way.
Oh, she's on her way. I don't think she went to bed Friday night. She really got into this thing this year. And then Steve worked diligently too. Michael and I kept running his errands for him, so we did good running errands.
We're working with him. We'll get him right next week.
Many more work, but Sherry did. She didn't need to stay up all night. Nobody else would do that, I don't think.
Y'all want
to tell about Lucky's birthday? It is John's birthday. Right now.
John.
John Post.
John.
Best thing for John, a birthday.
You can't get away with anything, John. Forgive you. Any first-time visitors? I think everybody's here. It's good
Vivian
to see Miss Vivian back.
Don't hug her too tight, though.
Adult, since she's still a little testy, but she's back. So welcome back, Miss Vivian. Okay. Deletions or additions to the prayer list? Anyone?
My friend that I asked everybody to pray for last week, he hung in there until yesterday. He passed away yesterday, so remember the family of Roy Stevens. Roy Stevens.
Anyone else? Yes.
Many of you remember Al Shear, who was here a couple of years ago, but he's from Russia. He came and visited, was here a good amount of time. He asked that his sister, and I can't pronounce her name, be put on the prayer list this past week. Her house burned to the ground. They lost everything, her and her family. He said, praise the Lord, none of them.
We've already made the announcement, Sherry. You're out of luck. Oh, go ahead, Sherry. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. His name?
His name is Jack Fox.
Okay.
See, we pray that accident that happened out here in Cambridge yesterday, where two people lost their lives. It was a 4-year-old girl and the driver of the car, I think that caused the problem. 28-year-old young lady.
It's
down here at
the intersection. Right below the hill there. Sherry, you weren't here when we thanked you for all your efforts for yesterday, but thank you.
I want to thank everybody
pause a moment for silent prayer. The prayer that the people may pray, O Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in this hour. Lighting the candles. Welcome, Jesus, the light of the world. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. If you'll open your hymnals to page 558. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it.
You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness.
The mountains are covered with flocks. The valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for you and sing.
He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you.
What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
Let's all stand and turn one page in our hymnal to hymn 559. Let's sing all standing. We certainly have much to be thankful for.
Come, thankful people, come. Bring the song of heart is home. All is thankfully gathered in. Here the winter storm begin. God our Maker does provide for our ones who be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest song. All the world is God's own gift. Tunes unto His praise to yield. Meet and praise to every song. Unto joy or sorrow grown. Birds of blatant ingratitude. Winds of poor all of it. All of darkness grant that we wholesome greatness you may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take His harvest home. From His riches in that day, all of His sins turns away. Even His angels guard at last, in the fire of thanks to death. Lord, the truth of His store in His garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to our final harvest home. Gather round Thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in Thy presence to abide. Come with all Thy angels come, raise our glorious harvest home.
That would be for prayer. You notice the last verse of that song is about the harvest of God's people for that eternal kingdom when He comes to call His children home. So this season we think of God's bountiful blessings of material nature, but also of God's bountiful blessings of a spiritual nature. Jesus Christ, the Savior. Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that You have given us to enjoy in this world. We just look around and see the beauty of the earth, beauty of nature, but we look around and see beauty in other people. And thank You, Lord, for the ability to see and see nature, but also to see people and to experience people's love as You love through them. And thank You, Lord, that we not only experience others loving us, but You have blessed us with Your love that we might share that love. Thank You, Lord. And thank you for Jesus coming. And thank you for Him telling us how to make ready for His final return in that great spiritual harvest for heaven. Lord, do bless us in this hour. Let us know Your presence, Your visitation, and Your truth. Help us to be Your people, and more so than we have been. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put what we believe in words through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into Hades.
The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. In confessing our sins, our call to confession is, they will call on me and I will answer them. I will be them with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. My prayer of confession in unison. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being,
whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our heart, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to You, confessing our faults, confiding in Your grace, and finding
You in our refuge and strength,
through Jesus Christ, Your Son.
Amen. Assurance, our assurance of forgiveness is, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift from God.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 565. It's actually a little chorus. I'm not sure we're real familiar with that, but if you'll play through it one time, I think we can do it.
We thank You for Your love,
We thank you for your care. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your word. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you, Lord.
You need a G chord?
Look in your bulletin this morning, we have a responsive reading, Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To Him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by His understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the desert.
His love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
His love endures forever.
Shihon, king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
And an inheritance to his servant Israel.
And his love endures forever.
To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
And who gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heavens.
His love endures forever.
Our offertory sentence this morning is, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. If the ushers would come forward, please.
Let us pray. Lord, you have given us much more than we need and enough to share. And Lord, help us not to be greedy, but to be sharing people. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
in your hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn 557. Sing the first and last. 557, 1 and 3.
The first light, my love, morning, to the land on the waters, every breath we take is sacred, for it is God's given us. In thanksgiving, let us praise Him, in thanksgiving, let us sing. Songs of praise and adoration to the gracious Lord and King. Safe within His hand that guides us, hidden in His healing wings, day by day His love provides us every good and perfect thing. In thanksgiving, let us praise Him. In thanksgiving, let us sing. Songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and
our scripture today comes from John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, and you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Thanksgiving Sunday, or the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I believe it was about 30 years ago that I came to speak to a church, the church in Madison, on this Sunday. So if you are lamenting how I got to Middle Tennessee, it started way back then, and the Madison church was the cause of it, I guess. As we come this morning, I want to tell you about Brent Haven Church. Brent Haven is, I think it's 508 Franklin Road in Brentwood. And today, they are
celebrating a new building, an open house from 4 to 6, and Renaissance will be there at 6 o'clock. And Renaissance is the Bethel College Musical Experience. I think they're not calling it a musical group anymore. They're calling it a musical experience because it is an experience. About 80 students in that, and they put on quite a show and also help people in a worship experience. A portion of it is. A portion of it's a fun experience. So if you want to participate there, I encourage you to come to the Community Thanksgiving service on Tuesday night at the United Methodist Church, Nolensville, at 7 o'clock, and we will join together to worship there, and we will receive an offering for the meal on wheels, or meals on wheels, I think. More than one meal goes out on wheels, not just just one, singular, but plural. We have some people here who participate in the meal on wheels, also by delivery. I'm preaching a Thanksgiving sermon about how to be thankful, but up to this point, we have been had our thoughts guided that way through the music and the scripture reading, and let me comment on that Psalm 136. Things come to mind years later, and I was being a pastor, trying to be a pastor in Basel, Arkansas, back before 1969. We moved in November of 69, so it could have been 68 or 67. We had a community Thanksgiving service, and that psalm was read. And I don't remember us reading it in its entirety, for I've been in the service since then. But this week, that Psalm 136, and that experience back there came to mind, and I wanted to share that with you this morning and have you to share it with me. So that's an old memory, or a memory from long ago, brought us to that psalm this morning. We'll talk this morning about making disciples, and this is a follow-up to being fruitful Christians. And of course, the scripture lesson this morning is concerning bearing fruit, and we use it as a background scripture last week. We can go to Genesis 1:28 and remember that God created man and woman and told them to be fruitful and multiply, to increase in number. And that was not only a message, or not a message limited to Adam and Eve populating the earth, to message to new disciples, or people who have been made anew by God through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, go and be fruitful now as Christians, and not only grow in your Christian walk, your Christian experience, the way you live, but also add people to the kingdom. Christians are called to make other Christians. Or one way you put it, to bring the lost to Jesus. Bring those who do not know salvation through Jesus, who are like sheep without a shepherd, who are lost and undone, who are wandering around in the world not knowing what to do. Christians are called to bring these people to Jesus. And I believe that God has spoken to me, and I don't say that very often. I've been very cautious, almost to a fault, in saying that God has spoken to me. But as I stand before you this morning, in the past few weeks, I think God has spoken to me concerning this church being involved more and more in bringing people into the kingdom of God, or getting people registered for heaven. How do you like that one? Registered for heaven, or signed up for whenever the bus comes, that we will be ready to go to heaven. I think he told me to encourage you, or as some people have put it, he told me to tell you. I hesitate to use that because some people come to me and say, God told me to tell you. And I said, well, I talked this morning, he didn't say a thing about it. So you may say that too. But I think he told me to encourage
you, us together, to get involved, more involved, in bringing more people into the kingdom of God. So that's what we're doing this morning. Why did he wait till now? You know, in his own timing, maybe God decided it's time for Deacon's Church to really get involved, to quit kind of coasting along. And that's where we've been, and I've been a part of it. No accusations to anybody but myself. But through various avenues, God has said, Larry, it's time for you to challenge the people. It's time for you to get more involved. And it's come partly from thoughts. It's come partly from God's Word. It's come partly from comments by some of you in the church right here. It's come partly through a friend, a fellow preacher, who says he has 4 more years to work and he hadn't been a real evangelist, and he has challenged his minister friends to get really, really, really involved in evangelism or helping those who do not know Jesus to come to know Jesus. Helping those who do not have a home in heaven to purchase a home in heaven. You know, it's really been purchased for us through Jesus Christ. So all we have to do is claim it. Claim our home in heaven. So, yes, I believe God's spoken to me about the church reaching more people. For the kingdom of God, not for the church's sake. The church will take care of itself if we do it in the kingdom of God. Jesus used the vine and the branches, and I think it's probably a grapevine, to illustrate the way people can produce fruit for the kingdom of God and for heaven. The vine. The one thing he says that we must be attached to him. We dwelt on that just a little bit last week. But we must be attached to Jesus if we produce fruit for Jesus' kingdom. If we are separated from him, we wither and we are thrown into the fire. Ooh, we don't want to talk about that much, but it's okay to talk about it too. It's part of the Bible. We need to read John 15, and then read it again. First 17 verses at least. If we are attached to him, he being the vine, and his people being the branches, the fruit always grows on the branches. Right? But the vine produces the branches. The branches come out from the vine, and they have to be attached to the vine before they can be productive, or before they can even survive. Bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. Bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. To do that, we must be attached to God, the Son, Jesus the Christ, and He to God the Father. Or through Him, we are attached to God the Father. With so many people out of the kingdom of God, and we've just heard this week on the news more than once, that people are coming, they're calling for a ban of religion. Now what they're going to do, and you hear who has asked for that ban of religion, don't be mad at them, pray for them. Pray for them. Have sympathy for them. But there's a lot of people who don't even want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Or they don't think they do. They don't know what they're missing. So many out of the kingdom of God, are we not moved to do what we can to bring them in? Or the alternative is, just let them go to hell. Think about it. How will we bring people to Christ? And last week, this was part of the outline, and we didn't get there. But we are today. Just a few things that are necessary. And one of them is that every one of us, doing our part in honoring God the Father, Jesus the Son, and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us doing what we can not to bring any shame on God and His church. Every one of us doing what we can to honor and glorify God. Every one of us doing what we can to bring an attractiveness to the people of God. Living attractive lives. Living lives that would attract other people. Living lives that people would look at us and say, "What is it special about you?" We bring people to Christ one way, one necessity is that every one of us doing our part to honor God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not doing things that would make people look and say, "If that's what Christianity is about, I certainly don't want any part of it." And how many times have you heard that? Or how many times have I heard that in my lifetime? So often. Well, one of the super preachers out in California last week, a secretary of a church in Murfreesboro last week, do things that bring dishonor to the kingdom of God. And that makes the news. So we are compelled, we're called upon, we're challenged to do things, to live lives that would bring honor to God. And then every one of us doing everything that we can to make this the best church that it can be. And my first thought was, make this the best church in the area. But you know, I don't want to be better than any church in the area. I want all of us to be honoring God. Because when the neighboring church succeeds and does something good, we benefit from it. And when we succeed and do something good, and we honor God with something, that neighboring church benefits from it too. And people can look and say, "Well, yeah, that church, well, maybe I'll just stop at this one." Every one of us doing all that we can to make this church the best church that we can be. The best church that God would have us to be. Honoring God with all that we do. How can we do that? I've listed a few things here on the tab over. Friendly. You have been friendly since I challenged you. We were kind of friendly before then, but we had let people get away that were coming and visiting us, and we were not welcoming them then. But you have been quite friendly. But we need to be aware of this. I still challenge you, don't let a person that you don't know sit by themselves in church. There's not a place that's much lonelier than to be in a congregation of people and everybody being friendly around you, but you not being included in the conversation. Friendly. Welcome the stranger. Welcome the visitor. Because the writer of Hebrews says we never know. We never know when it is an angel that we're welcoming. But the other side of that is we never know when our greeting or our welcoming is the one thing that affirms in that person's life that Christianity is really real and we're really serious about it and we're really serious about being obedient to God's Word. Then every one of us doing all that we can to make this the best church that it can be, a loving church. Now, really think that we are a loving church, but we're not where we could be. You can always improve. Isn't that the way of Christianity? There's always something else to do. Get the house cleaned, always another thing that you could dust. Get the house furnished, but there's one more piece of furniture. Well, be as loving as we can, but look and see if we're being as loving as we need to be. Over and over, we are told, love one another. And you notice Jesus mixed this in with this, be fruitful and multiply. He mixed in with that, loving one another. Did you notice how many times in these 17 verses he talked about loving one another and how he has loved us and how the Father has loved him and he has loved the Father in return and called on us to love one another? It's all mixed up together. Being fruitful takes a loving people to be fruitful. Love one another. Greatest commandment is to love God. The second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we know, I know, there's some neighbors that are unlovable. And I'm not always a lovable person. But God calls you to love me anyway. If you don't believe that, you've never seen that side of me, ask my family. They can tell you. They may be nice. But we just can't be lovable all the time, but we keep on loving. But then, you know, the family is the best one to call our attention. You know, you're really not being loving like you ought to be. Like God tells you to be. Like Jesus tells you to be. Like Jesus says the greatest commandment is. The greatest thing we can do to honor God is to love God. The second greatest thing is to love our neighbor. And then being good students of the Word, that's the Bible. Good students of the Word, God's holy Word. And I've read through the Bible a number of times. I don't do it every year, but I've read through the Bible. But I've mentioned this before, but I've been doing some writing on Bible characters, and I've had to go back and read. I chose to go back. If I do the writing, I have to go back and read in detail in order to put 4 or 5 chapters in one little 100-word article or thereabout. And I have discovered some truths of the Bible. Some are amazing. Some are funny. Some terrible experiences. But I've become even this fall, this spring, summer, and fall, better students of the Word. I've been in Judges recently. And Gideon, a super great guy. But Samson, we looked to Samson, but he was kind of a spoiled brat. Said to his mother and daddy, I want that woman for my wife. And they said, well, we won't stop. We won't dwell there. They said, what did they say? Go read about Samson. He insisted. And they did it. Know the Word. Know what it says. If you read Psalm 119, it talks about the benefits of the Word. Isn't that the longest chapter in the Bible? If you say that the Psalms are chapters, that's 176 verses, I believe. And there are certain facts that I learned a long time ago. But it talks about the Word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Show us how to walk the Christian life. And then, doing the Word. Jesus said we need to do it. If we know it and don't do it, that's really just baggage that we're carrying around. And if we know the Word and do the Word, live it, he says, our life will stand. We need to be encouraging. And we mentioned this in passing a few weeks ago. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25 talks about meeting together. Churches need to meet together. So y'all are here, that'd be preaching to the choir, if they say, would it? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So keep on coming to church. Not like some who have given it up. But let us encourage one another. And all the more, as you see the day, and that's a capital day, that's the big day. You know when the big day is? When Jesus comes back. I'd rather be in church than any place I know when Jesus comes back. He may not come on the Sunday, but I want to know sure that I come with other Christians to worship Him the most recent time my church met. Let us encourage one another. Lou Holtz, somebody gave me, I'm not sure where I got it, but it was the wisdom of Southern football. And he wasn't always a Southerner, but Lou Holtz, last night I found a quote from Lou and inserted it in. It says, praise loudly and criticize softly. Praise loudly, criticize softly. Encouraging one another. Be affirming to one another. Be affirming. And, you know, maybe encouraging one another is affirming, but there's three verses in Romans. It's Romans 13. Well, Romans 12. Romans 12:10, Paul writes to the Roman church, honor one another above yourselves. That's affirming one another, right? I interpreted it as being affirming at least. Honor one another as above your, honor one another above yourselves. And then in Romans 13, it says in verse 10, I like these words, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, it is the fulfillment of the law. And then Romans 14:10. Move over, what, one whole chapter. Says, then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. There were question marks after those two questions. Why do you look down on your brother? Why do you judge your brother? Affirm one another is what Paul is trying to, the message he is trying to get over. And then verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, or the building up of each other. Edification means the building up of each other. Now, we can go on and on, I have an et cetera. So that means that's not the all that we need to do. But with this kind of attitude, a loving, affirming, encouraging, the students of the Word, with this kind of attitude prevailing, Word gets around. Word gets around. The challenge is to reach out to your unchurched circle of friends and your unchurched acquaintances. Someone came up a long time ago, a preacher friend of mine in Memphis. He came up with the FRAN plan, or Operation FRAN. And that was to reach out to your friends, reach out to your relatives, reach out to your acquaintances, and reach out to your neighbors. The FRAN plan, or the Operation FRAN, if you will. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Reach out to them. Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 23, tells us to snatch them. That one of the songs that we sang this morning had that as the thought behind the song, or the scripture lesson that went with the song. Some people, we have to just snatch away from the fire. Or snatch away from Satan. Others, we can gently lead away.
But I like that one.
From, you just have to go to great lengths to snatch them away. Years ago, the church was in a church growth study. And we studied for a number of years. In those years, the church grew. And they talked about having church growth eyes. Well, I think I have a better phrase. Not that I'm all that smart, but it fits me better. Kingdom building eyes. We're not so much concerned about building the local church, except as it is a part of the kingdom of God. Kingdom building eyes. And that's looking at people out in the world and seeing them coming into the kingdom. Our eyes always concerned about bringing people in to the kingdom of God. Multiplying. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. One man preached and there were 3,000 converts that day. Now, of course, there were some supportive people around. 11 others, maybe 120 others to assist, but we know there were 11 others. But there's a better plan than that. One, bring one. That makes two. I was pretty good in math. One plus one makes two, right? And then two, each bringing one, that's four. Okay? Can you follow me there? That's too deep. Are you as good in math as I am? And then these four bring one each, and there's eight. Okay? And then these eight bring one each, and there's 16. And then these 16 bring one each, and there's... It's getting pretty heavy. Is it 32? Okay. Okay. You got the point. You got the point. Then, we won't have to worry about anybody being left behind. Joyce Meyer. Yes, I watch a variety of religious programs, and I watch some that are not so religious. Pete keeps asking me, why do you want to watch that stuff? Well, that's my entertainment, I guess, that other stuff. Like Miami CSI and all of them, and those that probably I shouldn't be watching. But Joyce Meyer, I turned on her the other day, and she said she lived for years as a Christian, but she never gathered anybody to go to heaven with her. She was on her way to heaven, but she didn't have any plans to take anybody with her. I've always said if my ministry just touched one person, it'd be worthwhile. But I think God has called me to touch more than one person. And I think He's called you to touch more than one person. So if the only way to heaven, take somebody with you. Invite them to go with you. If they won't go, find somebody else. We need to take someone with us to heaven, not go by ourselves. What's our song number? 299, Rescue the Perishing. Let's sing the first verse. The first verse of Rescue the Perishing. That's pretty heavy stuff. Stand together and sing verse 1. If you feel that you'd like to give your life to Jesus, start your trip to heaven this morning. The altar awaits you. We'll make that commitment with you. Help you make that commitment. Maybe you want to commit yourself to bring more to the kingdom. Bring some fruit or some more fruit. Additional members of the kingdom. Maybe you want to make a public commitment of that. The altar awaits you. Number one.
Everyone left out the fallen, there in the tree. save, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Lord God, we know that you've called us, and you send us. We thank you that we were rescued by one of your servants. And Father, help us to be rescuers as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
From him all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us.